Title of the message is Gay Marriage, Why Not? Gay Marriage, Why Not? Now, I'm going to have you turn again to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 25, and I'm well aware of the fact that this was written to Israel. And yet, by the same token, I know that our country originally laid claim to the Lord God Almighty, the same God of Israel, in the founding of this nation. I know that they prayed to him in the founding era of this nation. I know that people who are as enigmatic as Benjamin Franklin even called for prayer to the Lord God and said that this nation would fare no better than Babel unless his face was sought and his blessing received. And so I think there's application in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 25 that I'll be rereading to you, making comments again in a minute. And the title, Gay Marriage, Why Not? Maybe there's some of you who don't know me or haven't known me, and you say, ah, well, you're homophobic. You've never had anybody that you know that's in this lifestyle. To that I would say, you are wrong. One very near and dear to me was enslaved to this lifestyle for more than a decade. But miraculously, God intervened and that person came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And they would be just coming home from their service because they're an hour ahead of us where they live right now. And during that time, I prayed and I witnessed. And I spoke to that loved one, and I'm so thankful that God answered prayer. So don't give me that. But I do know when something is wrong in the Bible, it's wrong, regardless even if it's a loved one who is involved in something that the Bible says clearly is wrong. And I fear for our nation. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 through 25, It's quite clear as we read it. It says, woe unto them that call evil good. You see, what's being pushed even in public schools and in the public forum today is saying that homosexual marriage and homosexual relationships are just another option. They're not an option, friends. They're sin. And it says, and call good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Now, I want you to understand when we come to this little word, woe, here. That little word, woe, you look it up. It means judgment. It means judgment. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. It says, which justify the wicked for reward and take away, and here's where we're at, and take away the righteousness of the righteous for him. Let me just tell you, this whole same-sex marriage battle, as I'll address later, isn't merely about tolerance, friends. It's about taking away the righteousness from the righteous and trying to make it hate speech when you would speak out against something that is sin. It says, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Here they were very blessed. Here they were very fluent. Here they were very affluent. Here God had blessed with blossom, and it says all that could be taken away just like that. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And they have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. And he stretcheth forth his hand against them, and smiteth them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He's saying, repent, turn back. Our state is literally at a crossroads. November 7th is going to determine which way our state goes. Will our state codify by constitutional amendment marriage as being between one man and one woman exclusively by voting yes? I pray that that will happen. And I would exhort each and every one of you to vote, and I would exhort you to vote biblical values and vote yes. Despite this commercial that's trying to confuse everybody, the right way to vote in this, if you're going to vote biblically, is to vote yes on the marriage amendment. Or will they leave the law vague and allow activist judges to decide for them, as has happened in Massachusetts and just recently in New Jersey? You know what happened in New Jersey, don't you? In New Jersey, they had kind of a vague law, and so activist judges came in, and activist judges said, well, legislature, what, you have 6 months, and you can decide either to legalize homosexual marriage, or you can make something that's parallel with equal rights for marriage. And that is the law by the Supreme Court activist judges that have came down in New Jersey. It should take any person's it should help you to realize that things will not stay the same as that commercial tries to get you to think they will, to say, vote no, what's going to change? Nothing. No, that's not true. Because activist judges will come in, because already there's groups who are ready to come in. If this does not get passed as a constitutional amendment, believe me, there'll be a rash of lawsuits that will force the hands of the courts to be able to legalize perverted marriage. By the way, do you know who's behind this push? See, a lot of people don't. You know, they pick interesting names. Behind the push and the money behind these ads to try and get you to vote no is an organization called Fair Wisconsin. Fair Wisconsin. Yes, we want to be fair. No, not necessarily. When something is wrong, you don't want to be fair about something. If somebody comes in and says, well, you know, we want to be fair. The murders are real down now, and we would like to murder your wife because we just want to be fair. Not if I can get my 45 first, I'll tell you. You see, here's who's behind Fair Wisconsin, WEAC. That's the Wisconsin Education Association Council. The ACLU of Wisconsin. Atheists and Agnostics of Wisconsin. NARAL, which is a wicked pro-choice group. The AFL-CIO of Wisconsin. Freedom From Religion Foundation. People for the American Way. Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Medical Association, the Democratic Party, and then there's the churches, the Wisconsin United Methodist Conference, the Greater Milwaukee Synod of the ELCA, and a number of different synods of the ELCA around the state, the Wisconsin Conference for United Church of Christ, and many other names. The list goes on. And they are pushing you to vote unbiblically. They're pushing you to vote no. But we need to vote yes. We should vote yes because the amendment promotes biblical marriage. And that's what historically and biblically has always been the case since Eden. There is an all-out culture war. Don't kid yourself. This is like Roe v. Wade, friends. This is an all-out culture war with people who defame the Bible, defame God, defame our culture, defame historical marriage, And they're spending literally millions and millions and millions to try and make sure that this marriage amendment is not passed on November 7th. I just want to tell you something, that marriage has always been understood to be between a biological male and a biological female, and they made a covenant with each other as husband and wife, and they sought to have children. Last week, Pastor Darrell laid the foundation and clearly showed that marriage was instituted in Eden in the time of man's innocency. I want to refresh your mind by going back to Genesis chapter 2 quickly, verse 18. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 24, we read this, "And the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone, and I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowls of the air and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took out of his ribs, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken out of man made he woman, and brought her," look at this, "and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God made Eve a woman for Adam a man, and that was the first marriage, and the backbone of culture since Eden has been one man and one woman united in marriage for one lifetime seeking to procreate children, and that's the way it is. The original charter of marriage is clearly seen in this passage, and it is clearly confirmed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 and 5. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 and 5. It says, "And Jesus answered, and he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and what? Female. And said, For this cause shall man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Quite clear. Our Lord Jesus Christ reiterates what the Lord said. It's evident, by the way, that monogamy was the original law of marriage. Very clearly, monogamy, one man, one woman. Monogamy was the original law of marriage. And you know what? Any way you want to slice it, two men, two women, any way you want to slice it, gay marriage is not marriage at all. Why? Because they can't do what you're supposed to do. They cannot, on their own, they cannot procreate. It ended real quick. If he had made Adam and Steve, it ended real quick. Really, really quick. If they had made Eve and Evelyn, it would have ended really, really quick. But that isn't the way that God did it. And that's important, because procreation is a purpose of marriage. The opponents of marriage, like Stephen Fisher of the Human Rights Campaign, he wrote in Time magazine on December 20th, 2004, "We're not going to win at the ballot box until we start winning at the water cooler and in the church pew." He came right out and said it. You know, liberal groups like this one are hammering away at the average, ordinary, everyday people. They're just hammering away, They get the media and they write these articles and then they're crying all the time, it's a plea for tolerance, it's a plea for tolerance, please be tolerant of us. It's not about tolerance at all, friends. And I'll show you that a little bit later in the message. It's not about tolerance for all. But I want to tell you something. Tolerance, even though it's not really the issue, even if it were the issue, there are certain things that we must not tolerate. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Turn over here to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. It's quite clear. It says, let love be without dissimulation. That's fakery, trickery. But then it goes on and says this. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The word reprove means to expose them for what they are and tell people it's wrong, it's no good. The Bible is clear. There are certain things that we must not tolerate. Amen? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, homosexuality is called vile affection. Oh, you hate him, you call it vile. I'm just calling it what God calls it. The person who is dear to me, I loved them, but I could not and would not endorse what they did. And I told them so and prayed that they would repent. Romans 12, 24 through 28. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. When they say, oh, well, I love that person. No, they don't. They lust that person. It's a lust. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who change the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed of God forever. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also their men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was right, which was meet. And it says, for even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Some people say, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm married. Lynn and I have been married 37 years. almost 38. And how will same-sex marriage hurt us? Well, I'd like to talk about that just a minute first. If the yes votes do not win, passing the constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, I believe that God's judgment will be on this state. Say, preacher. Well, we've been studying in the college class. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26 through 31, and then you ask yourself, does this apply or not? Just ask yourself the question, does it apply or does it not? See, I already think God's hand of judgment is starting to be on this nation. And I think we can see it in many areas. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26 says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your desolation cometh as a whirlwind. Like a tornado, just comes out of no place. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, and I will not answer. They seek me early, and they will not find me. And here's why. Look at this. For that they hated knowledge, that's biblical knowledge, they did not choose to fear, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, look at this. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I believe if Wisconsin becomes one of those states, where the activist judges and the ACLU lawyers are able to dictate what happens here, that this state is going to eat of the fruit of their own ways, and they're going to be filled with their own devices, and we're going to have major, 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 major problems here. Number two, I want you to think about this. If same-sex marriage is allowed, it opens, quote, Pandora's box. Now, I'm not going to go through the Greek mythology that relates to Pandora's box, but when Pandora's box was opened, it was filled with all kinds of evil that poured out. It's as if we say marriage is not about, because, you know, if they don't pass this law, and if they say that marriage is not about men and a man and his wife, male and a male father and a female mother, where does the redefinition stop? Homosexual writer Andrew Sullivan said, look at this, quote, "The right to marry whomsoever you wish is a fundamental civil right." Huh? That's not true. I've read the Constitution. I've read the Declaration of Independence. And our founding fathers never had any other idea than marriage between a man and a woman, because I've also read how George Washington handled a situation like this in the army, and I know that they had no thought whatsoever of endorsing homosexuality. And I want you to know this, and know it good. The left, if you would, the homosexual activists, there's a whole lot more on their agenda than just same-sex marriage. The first couple to get a same-sex marriage license, May 17, 2004, in Provincetown, Massachusetts, was John Yarborough and Cody Rogan. And did they want to be monogamous? The answer is no. Oh, and by the way, they're divorced now already. I should let you know that. But absolutely not. Yarborough said this, "I think it's possible to love more than one person and have more than one partner." They're going there, friends. Moving away from traditional marriage is a slippery slope into grossness and debauchery. I said Pandora's box would be opened. And what do I mean by that? I mean that evil relationships will spew out polygamy, and then polyamory. If you don't know what polyamory is, polyamory is this. It might be that a man would want three wives, or it might be that two women and four men would be united in marriage. And already, that's what they're aiming for. You see, they've got it all set up. Go back to bigamy and harems and even human-animal perversions. Believe me, the homosexual crowd is already making plans down that line. And then here is one of the first things that will happen. If we don't vote yes and ensure that we have a biblical marriage between a man and a woman, same-sex marriage is going to be forcing people to accept their perversion, because I told you earlier, it's not about tolerance. In fact, if same-sex marriage is legalized, you can expect the crowd of perverts will lobby for hate speech laws. Statements like, quote, "children need a mother and a father," unquote, could be deemed hate speech. And you say, ha, that's far-fetched. Oh, is it really? The Boston Globe newspaper. This was by Governor Romney, Mitt Romney. And here's how what was written in the Boston Globe. Governor Romney is denigrating families practicing diverse, denigrating families practicing divisive, mean-spirited politics by insisting that every child has a right to have a mother and a father. That's what they said. Mean-spirited, divisive, because he said every child has a right to have a mother and a father. Only a few months after same-sex marriage became legal in some parts of Canada, the legislature passed a law that carries a maximum of 2-year jail sentence for saying certain things about homosexuality, and a Canadian pastor was arrested for reading Romans chapter 1 and his remarks on homosexuality. Believe me, if same-sex marriage is legalized, homosexual activists will do all in their power to force churches to accept practicing homosexuals into membership, which I will not do, and perform same-sex marriages, which I will not do, and no Christian preacher should do. Accepting this perversion will become fully mandatory. Why is traditional marriage the backbone of our society? And I'll hustle through these quickly so we can be done. Number one, traditional marriage socializes men. Scholars for a long time have recognized that society's most serious problem is unattached males. Marriage socializes men by channeling male energy into productive direction towards the wife and the family. It did that for me. Man, I did cave exploring, I did mountain climbing, I did all kinds of things that you would think was foolish, hanging on the end of a tether, swinging back and forth 50 feet down in the ground, trying to get into a cave opening. But I'll tell you what, I got married and my son came, and all of a sudden when I was in a cave, having to turn my shoulders and take off my hard hat to get around the next crevice, I thought, what if I get stuck down here? That means that my son is going to be without a daddy. And so that was my last dangerous cave exploring expedition that I led. And I channeled my energies into a completely different area. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33. It grew me up real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33 says, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Let's look at the second one. Traditional marriage protects women from exploitive males. Research shows, oh, that's not the second one. Let's go back to the second one. Traditional marriage regulates sexuality. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. Biblically and historically, marriage has established standards for sexual behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, now concerning things whereof we wrote unto you, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. I just want to tell you something. You know, homosexual marriage won't socialize men. Homosexual marriage doesn't regulate their sexuality, but traditional marriage does. And finally, traditional marriage protects the woman from exploitive males. Research shows that abuse of women by their partners or strangers is lowest in married homes and highest in cohabiting and dating situations. And finally, traditional marriage provides biological mothers and the biological fathers for children. There are mounds of research, not from fundamentalists, but there are mounds of research from independent researchers that show the most healthy, well-adjusted children come from families where biological mothers and biological fathers are present. Same-sex marriage does not provide the stability needed for healthy children. Child Trends, which isn't a fundamental group by any, or even a traditional group by any stretch of the imagination, says this. An extensive body of research tells us that children do best when they grow up with both biological parents. Thus, it is not simply the presence of two parents, as some have assumed, but the presence of two biological parents that seem to support children's development. Same-sex marriage, as I close, is doing great harm in our society where it's legal. And our state has been targeted, and they're spending millions of dollars to try and make Wisconsin be a state that endorses same-sex marriage in the Midwest. I pray that you will vote yes on the marriage amendment, and I pray that you will pray that people who know anything about history and culture understand that it is only one man plus one woman that is marriage, and nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. And so, friends, we need to stand for what has been established since Eden, that is one man plus one woman united together seeking to have children, that causes a culture to be strong. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh man, you need Him. We live in dark days. And I am so glad that I can stand up here and be fully persuaded of what is right, because Christ is my Savior, and I believe that this book is true.